Progress Wrestling Champion.
Gentlemen, welcome back to the Indy 50. We have returned, and with us, we have brought in tow a special review of Progress 55, Chase the Sun, live from Alexandria Palace. Wow. I am your host, Amir Azani, and joining me for this wonderful review is, of course, the ever-present master of the Indies, returning from his stint of marriage, returning after weeks away, Raymond Harris.
Hello, everybody. There comes a time in everyone's life when you hear a chant in a wrestling ring that defines an era, a chapter. And last night we heard possibly the greatest chant of our lifetime in Alexandra Palace in front of 2,000 people singing, and I quote, Asian weddings, Asian weddings. That is beautiful.
Oh,
and
dear God.
And the best
almighty
thing of our life. Oh, I'm back. Hello. Yes, if you were there and listened to the podcast, you are well aware of what I'm talking about. If you're not,
yes, you are.
You don't need to. It's fine.
No, you don't. You're on a need to know basis, and you don't need
this
to
is
know.
Our thing.
Yeah, this is, so basically we're going to run down Progress. Thank you for those of us who are still listening to us after that ridiculous introduction. So, Ray, I think without further ado, we should break down what we saw and our
indeed
feelings, our thoughts, our sights, everything that really came with what was arguably the pinnacle of Progress Wrestling from the Alexandria Palace. So, shall we break it down from the start with your honey good mustard barbecue, Georgia Gold Mountain Dew Kickstarter Progress pre-show?
Oh, very good.
Yes.
Like it.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
Like it.
It's been a while.
Been a while.
So, well, let's talk about chapter 55, my sacrifice. Anyway, so yeah,
oh, yeah,
we got this Creed thing going on. I apologize in advance for that too. So, yeah, pre-show, we get Strong and Stable style Spike Treve versus Chuck Mambo. Jesus Christ. Nothing says pre-show like Chuck Mambo. Wonderful guy. Not an ounce of body fat on him, as Ray pointed out, as he was drooling over him. We were sat directly by the entrance, so we got a corking view of everybody, and we also had a direct eye line to the ring, so we had a cracking pair of seats for this bad boy. Yeah, pre-show match. Interesting, fun fair, face goes over, not a great deal going on, was there? Crowd were quite into the Chuck Mambo, not so much the Spike Treve gimmick. I quite liked Spike Treve. I think he's quite funny. I like the fact he comes down with champagne, although it's clearly Prosecco, and spits it into people's faces like the big fucking nasty Tory heel that he is, and bangs on about Theresa May. Can be quite funny. Shame we didn't get much mic work, actually. He's really funny on the mic, as we saw at the, as I saw with Fraser Webber, the first Riptide show. He came down on a microphone and blasted people for being a bunch of liberal cunts. So, good times ahead.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad little match. Nice little thing to open up. Bearing in mind, it was so, Progress starts very early in the afternoon. We were there from about 2 o'clock queuing up. 1 o'clock from queuing up. The pre-show was at 3:30 in the afternoon, so it's a nice little kind of like warm up into the show itself. It was 10 minutes tops.
Yeah, what I liked about this as well was the fact that Alexandria Palace, let's give props and credit where they're due to Progress and to Alexandria Palace. The layout for the scene was perfect. There was plenty of room for everybody. They weren't crammed in. This was absolutely perfect. You couldn't have got a better setup for a wrestling show. This was just spot on. They absolutely nailed it. I've got to give them so much love and credit for it. I never felt boxed in or cramped. Like, I love Revolution Pro Wrestling more than I do probably any other British indies, but one thing I hate is the sardine nature of the York Hall. I know the idea is that it's supposed to be a tight, independent, you know, kind of hall, you know, that kind of smoky arena kind of effect, but I like being able to breathe. I'm a large human being. I need room. And, you know, let's be honest, they got it absolutely spot on. And as you mentioned quite a few times throughout the show, this had a production feeling, like a high level of production that you don't get at most indies. This is probably why Progress has linked up so well with WWE, because they just get what wrestling is meant to be. They've really bridged the gap between production and independent wrestling so well. I've got to give them love and credit, because believe it or not, I'm not the biggest fan of Progress. More so now, I have to say. So, but I have a bombshell that I'd like to drop at the end of this show. Let's talk about the opener. So Jim Smallman's in the ring. He's doing his usual business. And then we see ladders coming down to the ring. Now, the match I was most excited for, and Ray Ward attest to, that I was marking out hardest for, was CCK versus British Strong Style for the Progress Tag Team Championships and a ladder match. Imagine my surprise as the ladders arrive for the first fucking match first of the match. Evening. Oh, excuse me. My erection is ready. This... holy shit.
Yes.
So Tyler Bate and Trent Seven, who, by the way, have monster heat versus,
yes, just a bit.
Oh my God, creamy goodness, it is Chris Brooks and Kid Lykos. CCK. CCCCCC. They are fucking incredible. And this match was fucking amazing. What an opener. It was just exactly what you expected from a British strong style ladder match, mate. Holy fuck. These men tried to murder each other. And I have it on good authority that CCK worked that match injured too, which is an astounding achievement. And when it was all said and done, new tag team champions. And this whole thing was punctuated by the fact that Kid Lykos came running over and gave me a hug. That was just... the mark out moment of the night for me. I was, after that, I was set. Everything else was a bonus. And this just set it off right, didn't it? This got the crowd into it. They were ready after this. This set the tone for one of the best live shows I've ever seen. I'll tell you what, they really left it all out there. And talk about finding it hard to follow up from that crazy shit. This match was fucking insane. It's the greatest ladder match I've ever seen in person. It's the only ladder match I've ever seen in person, to be fair. But Kid Lykos, mate, running over and hugging me, I was set. That's like one of the greatest moments of my life. I genuinely was so chuffed. I was like, Kid Lykos just hugged me. Yay! It's just a mark out moment like nobody's business.
It's worth saying, this match is just fucking amazing. It literally was the most insane thing I think I've ever seen. There were spots everywhere. Trent Seven and Tyler Bate, I have insane, not the burst of the night, but insane heat. Like, it's crazy, and they know it too. And it was crazy. It was the most insane match I've ever seen. And if you don't already do it, get Progress on Demand. One, to watch this match, and two, to watch a mere fangirl when Kid Lykos jumps onto the chair in front of us and he goes, oh my God, it's a hug with Kid Lykos, who's just screaming in our faces. It's
can I just point out, fuck you, you're just jealous that he wasn't hugging you, mate. That's all I'm hearing. All I'm hearing is jealousy here, because he was like, it was Kid Lykos knows, because nobody's a bigger CCK mark than me. That poor bastard probably sees me at every show and thinks, oh God, not him again.
I mean, I'm one fan.
But he came running over and just like, I love the emotion coming out of him. Though you could see they legitimately love this moment. This is arguably their biggest moment in their careers as a tag team.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Utterly magical moment to be a part of it in that way, to witness it and to just have that little moment where he comes running over to us and he's celebrating right in front of us. He's screaming and he's, you know, clearly just full of emotion and giving everybody hugs and that. It's just an incredible moment. Those are moments that you're not going to get at a WWE show. You just not. These are moments that are strictly for independent wrestling fans. You don't get to feel that sense of enjoyment anywhere else like you do. We're all part of this journey, aren't we? All of us, you know, like our friend Beth, who was at this show as well, and like so many other people we probably know who have gone to Progress shows and Rev Pro shows and other independent shows, they all have lived this journey together. That's what's so great about indie wrestling. You feel like you're a part of something special.
Mm-hmm.
You don't feel like you're just watching it. You are a part of the product. And one thing I will say for Progress, I don't think any company in this country especially brings you into the product more than Progress does. I think they've done an amazing job, especially in the last few months, of just drawing people in and unparalleled storytelling. It's been absolutely phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. It has, and that deep storytelling kind of weaves its way through the matches tonight. Like they set up new feuds with great things we'll talk about, and then as I'm sure we're going to spend a lot of time about, the main event has told the greatest story probably in indie wrestling for a long time. So, and
well,
I mean,
not the greatest story. I mean, the greatest story is obviously Vader versus Will Ospreay, but we'll get to it in a moment.
We'll get there. Yes.
So, the second match of the night.
We've just come off the back of that match and we were just struggling to breathe. And then Jim comes out and goes, and it's another title match. And we're like, what? So Tony Storm facing Dahlia Black for the women's title.
Oh my God. Tony Storm is incredible. I mean, everyone knows this anyway, but, and I've been saying this for like months now, but oh my God, Tony Storm. Jesus Christ. Like, just fucking awesome. And all the fucking fanboying aside, both of these women, because I haven't seen much of Dahlia Black, so this was my first real opportunity to see her in full flight. Both women were awesome. I mean, I know Toni Storm. I didn't know what to get out of Dahlia Black, but I love both of these women. What a pair of wrestlers. They're legitimately world-class athletes. And that's punctuated by Toni Storm in the Mae Young Classic. I'm sure if Dahlia Black was, you know, at full fitness and didn't have visa issues, she might have even been considered for it too. The reality is they're both utterly, utterly fantastic at what they do. Just great athletes. And this match was physical, really physical. Toni Storm was willing to try and kill her to retain the belt. And I love that, because even if you're a face, you should want this belt. You know, you need to win this match more than anything else. These women told a fantastic story. It was physical. It was powerful. The pile drivers, the German suplexes, the wrenching of the submissions. Everything had a level of aggression and physicality and emotion to it that even women in today's WWE product could seriously learn from.
Yeah, absolutely agree, mate. Just obviously, my kind of view into this was different because I've known Dahlia Black for a while, and she has a great story.
Have you told TK about this?
yeah, he's cool with it. So they've had a great story for a while. See, with the visa issues, and you know, legitimately losing their visas and having to leave
creepy
the country,
Mexicans.
And then getting them back and coming back, and she's crazy over with the Progress fans for that reason, just because of the amount of dedication they put into it. But Toni Storm, in fairness, she's money. Like, she looks...
Oh, seriously. Just, yeah. Like, I would... She can main event cards for me. I would put her as top
she's
of
fantastic.
Cards. I would. And I would have her main event in chapters. Yeah. I would. And if she gets picked up by WWE, which is probably going to be likely soon, especially with her showing in the Mae Young Classic, I fully expect to see this woman wrestling the very best in big main events on SmackDown. I do. I can see her getting in a ring with people like Charlotte and Becky Lynch and tearing the fucking house down. She is world class. One of the best in the world. Full stop. Not just females. Full stop when it comes to wrestling. What a storyteller. What a look. And everything. The way she conveys herself. The power. The confidence. You know, this Australian warrior. It's all just exceptional. And credit to Dahlia Black. There's a real niche for what she brings to the product. Hopefully she's going to have a chance to push forward. I think Dahlia Black would be the rightful contender to the throne once Toni Storm moves on from Progress. But, of course, that is if she can get past the resident bitch of Progress.
Yep.
And I don't think I'm really out of order in saying that, because I'm sure she refers to herself as that. So let's all go to Tesco's, Ray, where Ginny buys her best clothes. Ginny comes out and essentially faux breaks Dahlia Black's leg with a steel chair, blindsides her because, you know, uber strong style heel, while TK Cooper looks on like a, you know, bless him, with his dislocated ankle, looking quite tragically disappointed. And can we just show some non-love to the ring crew, who were embarrassingly shite at allowing Ginny to just break this woman's leg? Pathetic. I can understand British strong style swinging forearms, nobody wants any of that, but come on, it's Ginny against 10 people of the ring crew and security, and none of them could separate her from Dahlia Black. What a load of rubbish you lot are. And I love the fact that TK Cooper said the after party's going to be lit, mate, but yeah, the ring crew aren't invited because they're fucking dog shit at their job.
I know.
Interesting.
Amazing match. And just for what it's worth, the finish to this match, which we kind of skipped over, was absolutely brutal. Because
that's Tony, because I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it yet.
You just told me once, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but they don't want to. People might sit back. Anyway, I'm sure some people haven't watched it, but
okay,
don't care.
Moving on.
Shut your mouth. Ray is that guy who comes into work the next day. Oh my God, I can't believe Jinder Mahal won the belt.
Yeah, I do. That's genuine disgust.
By the way, Jinder Mahal, still champion. Suck it.
Speaking of when I make mistakes. So the next match was Jack Sabre Jr.'s Invitational. And
Jack? Here he goes again. Jack.
Yep, Jack Sabre Jr.
So, it was a big breakfast Jeremy Corbyn in an open challenge match.
It was. Hang on, just before we go on to it. I made a slight mistake in this because I don't know if you remember, the first thing I did when he came out was boo, and then immediately remembered that he isn't a heel in progress, he's a face. Like a right twat.
Yeah, in Red Pro, he is uber heel.
Yeah, Red Pro is an ultra heel.
Fuck Zack Sabre.
And I was like, boo! And then suddenly realised that everyone was cheering for him. And I was like, oh yeah, he's
a face. Progress are a bunch of marks, that's why.
So would you like to...
Progress fans are going to come at me for that.
Yeah, so he... he doesn't so much introduce him as he goes, and so Zack Sabre Jr.'s opponent. And the video comes on, and it's raining. Now, this should have been a big giveaway for me. Now, I would like to point out that I did call this weeks ago. I did say he was coming. And being that I was in the aisle, I had ample opportunity to get naked. So, the music hits. Whoop, whoop. And I'm like, just literally like creamed it, mate. I was in the aisle, fist pumping. I was doing Batista cannons, mate. I was going mad. I can't wait to see it back because there's going to be an image of me jumping around like a piñata, a sexy piñata. I was going spare for fucking Marty Scurll, mate. The return for one night only of Marty Scurll, the villain, in full Bullet Club garb. And I was just literally, I was ready. I like literally just turned to you. I was like, my body is ready.
You did say that.
Give me this match. I am ready for this match. And this match didn't disappoint. Not quite. I think we're both in agreement. It wasn't quite on the same level as the Best Friends Bitter Enemies match they had at High Stakes this year for Revolution Pro Wrestling, but it was still nonetheless fantastic. You put these two anywhere in the world, they're gonna fucking make money. These guys are absolute money. I of course am the biggest mark for Marty Scurll. Sorry, Beth, but I saw him first. Get over it. Like, as far as I'm concerned, he is by far and away the best wrestler in the world, in my opinion, right now. I think he is absolutely incredible. Nobody captivates an audience like this guy. They just don't. And it's interesting that certain parts of the crowd still were on board with the whole Zack Sabre being boring or being a bit of a heel because of his style of wrestling. It doesn't translate to everybody, does it? Not everybody likes this technical vest, this wizardry style. We know our good friend Fraz, who couldn't make it. He's a huge mark for Zack Sabre Jr. I like Zach, but I think his matches can be very hit and miss. Some opponents work well, some don't.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Marty did the job, as he seems to always do to Zack Sabre Jr. But we got a nice speech from him saying, to be honest, I wanted to be a part of this, but realistically, this might be the last time you see me in a progress ring. He's stepping up his Ring of Honor schedule. He's stepping up his NJPW schedule. And I don't think it'll be that long before NXT comes knocking for Marty too. Which is going to be a heartbreaking day for us all. But rest assured, we will be cheering him on nonetheless wherever he goes. He is by far and away one of Britain's biggest idols in wrestling. Do you know what's great about Marty Scurll? Is that in the same way that we look back at Giant Haystacks and Kendo Nagasaki and, you know, Johnny Devine, all these guys from way back in the day, they're going to look at people like Marty Scurll 40, 50 years in the future. They're going to look back and go, do you remember when people like Marty Scurll and Will Ospreay and Zack Sabre Jr. were leading the British charge? That's going to be the testament
to the, how well they have really led this division. They are LDRS, let's be honest, LDRS 2000, which includes Will Ospreay, who I'm going to see at Lucha Ultimo. Oh my God, I'm going to cream. They are against CC fucking Co. I am literally just, oh, my body is ready, mate. In October, there is going to be so much spooging to be done. It's going to be insane, and I'm going to be throwing up. Excuse me, I must get naked now for the rest of eternity. It's going to be fucking insane. These guys epitomized it. It's just such a good match. Such a good match, mate. Anything to add before we get to a much different tone?
Different tone of match. Yeah, I think we're both right. Like, this wasn't as good as the 45-minute we saw at Rev Pro, but this was a different match. This was merely a thank you to Marty Skull. That's all it was ever was going to be. He was there.
This match and also his chance to say goodbye.
Yeah,
it was about 15-20 minutes, wasn't it? It was quite compact, but it was a lovely match nonetheless. I mean, if this was a main event of like an NXT takeover, people would have greened their pants.
Yeah. Absolutely, it was a great match, and like I said, as you said, actually, Marty Skull is, you know, he is saying goodbye. He's probably realistically not going to ever come back to Progress. Maybe like as a one-off, maybe, but it's going to be a long way down the road. So this was a nice thing, and
he's more loyal to Rev Pro as well, I think, because obviously Rev Pro is kind of where he got his real big break, and they're the guys who like you know sort of launched him from his platform.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah. Speaking of platforms or ones that you can throw people off of. So I'm all for hardcore. I'm all for violence. I do have some trepidation when one guy brings down a fire axe, though.
Oh, my God. Yes.
So next match was a death match. Now, I must admit, I had some trepidation and, frankly, a little bit of mockery inside of me over this. I thought, deathmatch? Really? Like, I've seen death matches. Those things. Now, it still wasn't on that level, but to be fair, I don't think Alexandra Palace in this day and age is really going to appreciate you letting off explosives. or fire, for that matter. However, the promo package before we jump into the match was incredible and summed up exactly why Progress is a step ahead of everybody else in British Indies. Their video production is amazing. So good. Yeah, I want a piece of that.
It is. And
I've seen it before because like, obviously I went to last year's, we're going to need a bigger room again in Brixton. And they had the same videos there. They had this amazing video for Ciampa and Zack Sabre. They actually had the started from the bottom now we're here video last year as well, but they've obviously updated it since then because they had so many crazy moments. This build up was fantastic. The use of Mark Haskins' wife. This felt like something that I could honestly see on ECW or WCW back in the day. This really felt like that level of production, especially ECW. Remember that sort of grainy backstage kind of mentality with the video cameras and things like that? Brilliantly done. Mark Haskins' wife, holy shit. That's just, my God, Mark Haskins, you bastard. Like, not only is this woman ludicrously beautiful, but she's also really fits in nicely. She actually gets what it is to be a wrestler. She gets the industry, which is great. It was lovely to see her at the merch table afterwards with him as well. Just awesome. Like, Jesus Christ, talk about relationship goals, mate. I think we all want to have our lives defined in that way. So yeah, it was just, let's get to the match, right? So Jimmy Havoc comes down with a fucking fire axe, and I'm thinking, no, decapitation is not, I get death, when he says deathmatch, it does not mean murder him inside 5 seconds. So he takes a swing at him with a fire axe. Of course he doesn't connect, thank Christ. Of course it comes back later. This was basically the mother of all hardcore matches. Hey, Alexandria Palace, you don't think that there's been enough crowd interaction? Well, here's some fucking crowd interaction for you cunts. Jesus Christ. These two tried to murder each other and they're supposed to be friends. Like, and I love the fact they're both standing next to each other at the merch table. They're like, hey, buddy, what's going on? Oh, it's all right. Bleeding out of my fucking orifice. It's fucking insane. These two are, as you know, I'm not a fan of Jimmy Havoc. Now, Jimmy Havoc could give two fucks what I think, and that's absolutely fine. And I'm sure if I said to him, I'm not a big fan, he'd try and fire axe me to death. That's fine. I like Mark Haskins. I am a huge fan of Mark Haskins. And last year, he won the title in, you know, their biggest event, in that incredible triple threat with Tommy End and Marty's Girl. So, obviously, you can't just be in the main event all the time. But Mark Haskins... this proves something really special to me. And Mark Haskins can do a little bit of everything. And he just... oh, he's just so fucking good, Mark Haskins. There's something really honest about Haskins, even though he's quite hardcore and quite dangerous. You know, he's the family guy. You know, he's got a beautiful kid, a beautiful wife, good family. But he's also a hardcore competitor. This is his life. It's not just a guy who wrestles. This is his life. This means everything to him. And I'm not a fan of Jimmy Havoc, but I must admit, I do enjoy him to a certain extent when he's used right. I think he gets the hardcore nature of wrestling very well. It's just that I'm not really a big fan of hardcore in that way. For me, I like the Masato Tanaka, Mike Awesome level of hardcore, you know, and the more sort of like Godzilla effect, like power bombing each other through tables and stuff. That's more my level. But these guys... how about the use of the Nerf gun and the toy dinosaur?
That was good.
Brilliant. I like the fact he actually sold a shot to the nuts from a Nerf gun. Absolutely amazing stuff. But the spot of the match, I think you'll agree, was the Death Valley driver through the table off the stage.
That was quite good. That was incredible.
Utterly insane.
The best thing as well is it was a very good visual effect, because if you weren't in the rows behind us, because this happened... right next to the stage, so we're kind of far away enough, we can't see them on the floor. So to everybody else in Apali, they just disappeared with the table, and that was an amazing spot. It's only when you see it back on the video, it's only like a 5 foot drop, but visually, so it looks incredible. And we thought they'd stopped, because we didn't see them get up for about 5 minutes, but we thought that was it. But they got up and carried on, and then we had the insane fire axe spot.
Carry on, what's on?
Yeah. So the table.
You'll be fire axed when you are gone.
Jimmy Havoc puts Haskins on the table and attempts to swing the fucking axe at him, and me and you are just going, oh! It's a swing and a miss. Plants it in the table, followed swiftly by Jimmy Havoc going through the table. Just a quick word on Havoc, because I know you're not his greatest fan. I'm bought into Havoc for a long time ago. He's had one of the, probably up until last night, one of the greatest storylines in progress, with the whole redemption, win the title, and his entire anguish. Everything was amazing. And I'm fully bought into it when he's in progress. Things like this, he loves. He admitted he loves these kind of matches. So it shows, because... he cleanly took two or three shots to the head with a fucking staple gun, legitimately. takes a lot of a human being to go, yeah, just stick a staple on me, it's fine. Just staple gun me, it's fine. What's wrong? Just do it. It's a bit crazy. But the match went on ages. It was phenomenal. Everything was used. There was barbed wire, there was tables, there was barbed wire tables, barbed wire baseball bats, a Nerf gun, a dinosaur, breeze blocks, which broke, which were hilarious, chairs. What have I listed? Frying pans, paper, staples, and a stage. What else do you want going into a break with this just mess of a match? It was and thumbtacks, and it was amazing.
Yes, it was. Sorry, I'm just engaging in a large debate over whether Naito versus Omega or Omega versus Okada was the better match. It's Naito Omega versus Omega. Fuck Omega, you if you disagree. I'm getting fed up with people telling me that Omega and Okada 3 is better than that. It's not. It's just not. Deal with it. They're living off of hype, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, getting back on topic, this death match. Yeah, just incredible. Absolutely incredible. And the perfect way to end the first half of the show. Christ. This point, I could have literally got up and walked, and I would have been quite happy. It was insane, absolutely insane. So we had our intermission, and then when we come back from intermission, I hope you guys are recovering well. I hope you're relaxing, because now it's time for big fuck off men to destroy each other.
I wish you'd just like that. I wish you'd said that.
Give me that. Never mind big lads wrestling. This is fucking humongous giants twatting each other. Yeah, exactly. Sorry. Thank you very much. Matt Riddle defends his Atlas Championship against two members of Ring Kampf, Timothy Thatcher and Big Daddy Walter. This was one of my favourite big men matches I've ever seen. Ever, full stop, in any promotion, TV, live, or otherwise. When Volta threw Matt Riddle about 20 meters with the German suplex, I quite literally jizzed. That is just... I honestly need new creaming shorts, Jeeves. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Timothy Thatcher and him just battering each other. Some of the chops in this match would, they would literally derail a train. Fucking ludicrous. I want to see Volta chopping down fucking moving trains with his hand. Utterly insane. Riddle's rising knee lifts. Do you know what? I've got to say one thing. He shouldn't be doing kicks. I actually think his kicks are pretty poor. That's going to infuriate people, but I think the majority of them, because he's a UFC guy, he has to put his kicks. And because of that, they just don't look good. Like, the problem is he's an actual death machine. So if he actually kicks one of these guys, he's going to hemorrhage them. So he has to really pull too hard on them. And I think because of that, they look a bit soft. It's my only personal real critique of him. Other than that, yeah, Riddle... He's got a cool look, cool vibe. I love how cool he is. He's just... Cool is the word for Riddle. He's so fucking cool. He really is a bro. He's just... I love his music as well. Everything about him is just so funky. I really like that. He's so different from anything else you get. He's funky, he's cool, he's kind of hip. He's just so unique, and I love that. There isn't anything else like that in wrestling.
I just
love the fact that his whole persona is incorporated in the way he wrestles. Like, yeah, he's still, you know, 90 miles an hour, 6 second knockout artist, but he's also quite cool in the ring. He's like, hey, he's just like, whatever, man. I'll just kick your fucking head off. It's all good.
I love it.
And pass me another fucking doob, motherfucker. He just, yeah, fucking cool. And this match, oh my God, you couldn't ask for three better technicians of big man wrestling. These are probably three of the best in the world at what they do. And none of them are even close to WWE as well, which I think is so fucking good. And you can also see why Timothy Thatcher was the Evolve champion for as long as he was, because that guy is fucking dangerous. He looks like a serial killer, frankly. I wouldn't want none of that.
No, absolutely not. It was an incredible match. The spot of the match was just amazing. And I've been on Twitter tonight, and Matt Riddle still talking about it. It was that triple German suplex, which was just the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. If you haven't seen it, either go wait for demand or find it go to Matt Riddle's Twitter. It's on there. Just about a bit of scar on this. So for some reason, I don't know why, but the microphones under the mat at ProRes were turned up to like plus 1,000 bass. And when these three hit the mat on a triple suplex, I literally thought North Korea just started testing again in the Ali Pally. It was ridiculous.
Jesus!
It was
literally, I am the
was nuclear. It not? That triple suplex, it was just the loudest bang I've ever heard.
Fucking loved it.
Being involved in cards, it's like bang. And it was unbelievably good. And this is, I love big lad wrestling. You feel free to paraphrase it all you want. But it was an incredible match. I thoroughly enjoyed this match. It was quite fun. You were talking about Matt Riddle being something different in the ring. It was quite jarring to hear Ring Kampf's music twice in succession. And then just Matt Riddle's funky Grand Theft Auto music. He bowls out going, da-da-da-da-da-da, like, whatever, man. Da-da-da. And like the two of them are just standing in the ring going, what is this? This is stupid. The jarring of it was phenomenal. Even that was just a great little bit, to be honest with you. But yeah, unbelievable match. You want to tell him?
Incredible. Sure, why not? Spoiler alert. Big Daddy Volta, new Atlas champion. But it doesn't stop there, because somebody wants a slice of Big Daddy Volta. Now, I marked out, but to be honest, I'm not actually a huge fan of this guy. Wolfgang arrived in progress and will, of course, challenge Big Daddy Volta. He got in the ring, squared up to him, then got out of the ring and walked off.
That match is going to be absolutely money.
It is. One thing that did interest me is I'm the same height as Wolfgang. I noticed this as you walked past. I thought, that's really, really weird. Because yeah, I really am. He walked past. I was like, holy shit, we're about the same height. That's pretty amazing.
Ladies and gentlemen, and me is Wolfgang.
I am Wolfgang. I am the Wolfgang. I am the table. Actually, no, the table was, you know, well, it was in the deathmatch, but it is no longer.
Fire axe.
Oh, by the way, in the deathmatch, yeah, the fact that he tried to fire axe him while his head was while face down on the table, and he tried to fire axe his neck. I was like, oh, no! Outrageous. Now I've seen it all. But yeah, so yeah, Wolfgang versus Big Daddy Volta going forward. I do like Wolfgang from the aspect of the working man, the lone wolf kind of thing. He's got that kind of one man world warrior thing going on, as the biker that travels alone. Mm-hmm. You know, he's kind of an amalgamation of different gimmicks, the drifter, the lone wolf, all this kind of stuff. There's definitely potential there. I don't know, when I see people like Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate and Trent Seven, I just feel like he's quite distant from them in terms of ability. He's still fantastic, obviously. He'd wipe the fucking floor with me any day, but the reality is that I think the other guys really eclipsed him when it came to the UK stuff, especially with the WWE stuff. I feel like he's kind of a forgotten man, but it is quite interesting because he is going to be in the main event of NXT this week. So random. So random. So yeah, that was yet again another surprising turn. So it wasn't just the wrestling that was on show here. It was also the incredible level of storylines that they're building. And yeah, we're leading quite nicely to my bombshell. But
God.
An ultimate match.
Oh, yeah.
An eight-man scramble for the Progress number one contendership. Now, I'm going to drop off a small bombshell here. I thought this was the worst match of the night.
I would like to preface this with, you've missed the preamble to this match, which was a 10-minute
riot.
Yeah,
I'm just about to mention this.
Yes.
Yeah, I just... Right, first of all, right, can I just say something? Fuck you, Lemmy. God. I'm getting fed up with this. Right. Okay. No, do you know what? I don't care. You can call me out for it. Zach Gibson is fucking amazing. He's fucking incredible. He is the best heel in all of wrestling. Full stop. He is even better than The Miz. He's fucking incredible. I cannot get over how good he is. I literally wanted to fucking bow down and applaud his promo because it was magical. So, you got eight men. Jesus Christ. Like, this ring is not big enough.
Hang on, hang on. What do you mean, hang on? I haven't fucking started the match yet. You're still going on about the promo. Oh, okay. I just want to say that.
Shut your face. We haven't got away from the promo yet. Hang on. Captain, I'm talking about the promo. I hate fucking everything north of Watford. Listen, because listen. I don't understand geography because I live in London.
Listen. Look. You need to see it from a different perspective, right?
No, absolutely not. Listen, fuck you.
Everyone in that room understands he's a damn good wrestler, and I even told you that many times.
They don't get it. They don't get it. They do. The majority of them, they're marks. They don't get it. They don't get it.
The people that were by that time in the evening, quite a lot of them were drunk. So yeah, maybe they weren't thinking straight. But even I,
let's be honest, he's a you're very a bunch good of racist wrestler. Pricks.
No. Well, yes.
Well, yes. There you go. Thank you very much. Right. Thank you very much. You heard it from the horse's mouth. This geezer's from Essex. Oh, an Essex geezer. I don't like anything that's outside of London. You understand me? Houston, Ali Paddy. What a bunch of fucking angry bitches you are. This is
Ali Paddy's not London. But listen,
I don't give a shit.
He's an amazing wrestler, and he absolutely is. But his goal is to get heat. So when he comes out,
oh shit.
Then, so that's what I'm saying. So no one hates him. He's doing exactly what he's meant to do. There was a couple of scary moments.
Did you not see some of these cunts? Sorry.
There was a few of them. Yeah, okay. I'll give you that.
I brought this point up at Super Strong Style, right? Now,
you did.
I will say one thing. I'm loving Progress a lot more now and I'm on board. I like it. But this is exactly what I'm fucking talking about. Don't tell people, don't be a dick, and then lean over the fucking barriers, trying to take a swing, getting in this guy's face, giving him middle fingers, legitimately showing a level of ferocity that is more than just being a mark for the product. I'm sorry, but some of these people were being fucking grade A dickheads about this. Now, if you want to stand there and give them the middle finger, it's not for me. You might have noticed I didn't give any wrestler a middle finger. Because for me, I just think, well, what's the fucking point? You look like a child, as far as I'm concerned. Now, I know that's a progress thing. I know I don't get it. People are going to attack me on Twitter. That's fine. I don't get it. I'm sorry. I don't like giving wrestlers middle fingers. The only time I've ever given a middle finger was to Vader. And I think, frankly, that was well deserved.
That was deserved. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's deserved. Yeah.
Now, let me just say this promo. I legitimately believe this is the best heel promo I've ever seen. Ever. Name me a better heel promo.
No, I'm not going to argue with you because I think you're right.
I've seen more emotional promos, like the Miz's promo on Raw a couple of weeks ago. I know you're not a big fan, but his promo on Raw where he's, you know, he legitimately went crazy over the fact he was on a pre-show. Brilliant. This promo was golden. And the line for me, which set it off, which honestly had me almost on my knees with joy, is when he said, "I would love to see the size of the bandwagon that brought you cunts here." That was he genuinely that was almost. Line. And there, I even noticed quite a few people go, "Fair enough, mate. Fair enough." Just utterly
it was.
Magical. And it was, you know, do you know what? I get it, progress. You're different, you're edgy. I'm sorry, some of you take it way too far as I'm concerned. You just do. And if you don't like me for it, tough shit. Some conviction in my opinions, deal with it, mate. As far as I'm concerned, the majority of fans are great. Great fun. Love the unique chanting. I love the interaction. I can do without some of this. I get, and the thing is, right, the wrestlers react to it, which is great. And we saw this in the main event, which we'll discuss, because this almost got the same kind of problem. Oh, but yeah. I think the fans kind of need to know their place a little bit more. Some of them do. Not all of them. I don't like to tarnish everyone with Sabrebrush, but there's a few people in there. They might not even be Progress fans for all I know, but they're leaning over other people. They're falling over other people, trying to get to the front so they can get in people's faces. But the reality is, none of you actually took a fucking swing, did you? Because you would have fucking died. Gets on my nerves a little bit. If you want to boo the guy, that's fine. If you want to give him the middle finger, that's fine. But when you're starting to take it that extra level and show a level of aggression, that, let's be honest, if you did that in the street, someone would knock your fucking head off. You know? Just pipe it down a little bit. That's. I just think there's a... You can respect a heel while giving him shit. You know, can you imagine at WWE if people did that kind of level of abuse? Now, I know people are saying it's not fucking WWE. No, it's not. But come on. It's still a wrestling show. It's still wrestling. You're not an MMA, okay? You're not some back alley redneck fucking place either. These guys are trying to present themselves as essentially an indie alternative to WWE. They're kind of like British NXT in a lot of ways, with the volume turned up to maximum. And I'm getting on board with progress. I'm starting to really fucking enjoy it. But this, I don't know. It does still bug me a little bit. It still irks me a bit. But enough about it. Let's talk about the match.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a bit boring. I think there were too many guys in it.
I think you're right.
I get what they were trying to do. They wanted to use talent, didn't they? They wanted to get everyone on the card, and that's admirable. I think a lot of these guys, especially people like FSU, Eddie Dennis, and Mark Andrews, these are guys that have been there pretty much from the beginning. I've got to say, I love Deputy Chief Dunn. He's fucking hilarious. The megaphone, the police officer. I love that everyone he's getting off. So he's like, stop this right now. This is too much fun. He's fucking hilarious. That is a gimmick I think could work in WWE very nicely. I actually think that's got great potential. I thought he was hysterically funny. It's funny because he's anti-fun and he's hilarious because of it. And the t-shirts, by the way, the GTA t-shirts, they're fucking cool. I want me one of those. He's really, really good. Really, really kicked in. I thought Strangler Davis looked really good as well. Really professional, really crisp guy, actually. I think in terms of wrestling, I thought he was the best wrestler in this match. I think he technically looked the best, but it was a clusterfuck. I must admit as well, every time I see him, I get so much more enjoyment out of seeing him every time. And that's Flash Morgan Webster. Mm-hmm. Just such a good all-around wrestler. And I like the gimmick. He looks scarily like that guy from In-Betweeners. I know he's aware of that because he's like, friends, wrestling friends. But I swear it's him. I swear there's some sort of body double guy. It must be related. But yeah, there's the mod father. He's cool. You know, hailing from a town called Manus. Everything's done beautifully. The Eaton Rifle, love it. He is so good. I really hope he's going to get a title run at some point because I actually think he's fucking incredible. I think
there seems to be
of all the people I saw, yeah, of all the people I saw, he took the pinfall in this match. What did you think of, first of all, Mark Andrews is number one contender.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't seem a bigger shock. I thought Flash Morgan Webster was going to win it.
Oh, it was coming.
Mark Andrews won it. And then the all-time good time phase that is Eddie Dennis turned on Mark Andrews at the end of this match and drilled him.
Holy crap.
And then, oh my God, the crowd.
Yeah.
It was like they were baying for blood. They wanted his blood. And Eddie just walks past us, doesn't he? Spitting with fury. And
yeah, he did.
I think this is a good thing for Eddie Dennis, because he's been the lucky, happy-go-lucky loser for so long. He can now channel this into a real hatred as a heel. You know, yeah. The guy there's keeps a losing good, all the time.
There's a great couple of storylines coming off the back of this. So obviously, yeah, Mark Andrews got another shot at the title. Morgan Webster's continuing this long-running thing he's got of being the nearly man, which is, it feels like one of those Jimmy Havoc really slow-burning storylines.
Yeah,
he was at a bowler, and then he was.
Do you think maybe next year at Wembley?
Possibly.
Oh yeah, possibly. Spoiler alert! Next year, Wembley Arena.
Yeah, I was going to talk to that about that at the end of it, but yeah, I mean, yeah, and then Eddie Dennis. This is a really good chance for him, because I think as far as I know, certainly if I'm corrected, but every indie he's done, he's a face, because.
Mm.
He's learning.
Yeah.
He's effectively learning the craft. So this is actually a great opportunity to test out being a heel. He's a big guy, so it works fine. And
yeah. And he's only turned full time, yeah, hasn't he? Job as a head teacher.
Exactly. The turn called everybody out, because who were we looking at? Who was walking down the ramp? I think it was Webster. And everyone was going, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we hear a bang, look in the ring. Eddie Dennis is over Mark Andrews and was like, are you actually serious? And I think I remember rightly, because everyone was literally like, was going to storm the ring. And I just looked at it and I was like, I clicked my fingers and I went, it's like that. He's a heel. That's all we had to do, is hit Mark Andrews. And turned into just this absolutely amazing insta-heel turn that will pay off so well. So, you know, whether he swings it around other indies, I don't know. Might just be for progress. But either way, you know, the match itself, in a weird way, the match didn't really feel as important as that end bit. That's how I see it. It was a filler to get all the guys on the card, but the main point was the end bit with Dennis's turn. That was all it needed to be.
Yeah.
So
I felt this match was in the wrong place in the card as well. I would have opened with this.
I don't think it would have mattered what match was here, because everyone was so amped for what was coming next. Even though we didn't know what was going to happen next, everyone was so amped for it, and the whole reason that most people were sitting there was for the match after, so it wouldn't have made a difference what match you put next, you know, match this you put in this place. So, you know,
yeah,
you are right in the sense that this match probably should have been, I don't know, first, second, but I guess they needed to get Strong Style out of the way for what was to happen next. So, you know, they could have put any match at all, but, you know, like, yeah. I said, the term was the most important bit.
It's main event time, Ray. This match was a bit shit, wasn't it?
It was mildly decent. It's quite hard because I couldn't see anything over the you know, over your nakedness, over Travis Banks going, pumping the poor man in front of me going, Travis, oh, Travis, oh, my God, Travis. It was quite hard to see in front of
that. Entirely wrong, to be fair.
I'm not wrong, 0% wrong.
Oh, my God. Now, this toolbox next to me was like, Travis Banks is getting a pedigree, and Travis Banks is going to lose. He's not going to win the title because I'm a British strong star, Mark. No.
I didn't say those things.
Travis Banks is winning the title. He clearly said, yes, you did. You absolutely said all those things.
I didn't say I'm a British strong star, Mark, did I? I said he's getting pedigreed, which I was correct.
Don't tell me you don't love a bit of Tyler Bate, mate. I saw you looking at Tyler Bate as he walked past, cheating on him with your eyes, mate.
Okay, Mr. Travis Banks, should we talk about how you're humping the chair, shall we?
First of all, I was not humping the chair. I was delicately caressing it. And second of all, them silver boots are fucking horny, mate.
Exactly, proving my point.
Can we just get it over and done with and just say, fucking Travis Banks! So, I wrote, as I mention every time, I wrote this fucking article back in January about how I thought Travis Banks was going to have a breakout year. Did I not write this article, Ray?
You did. This is exactly what you
wrote. In this article, did I not mention that he would win numerous titles and debut at Bowler?
Yes, you did.
I have been on the money with everything I've said about this guy. He's a fucking star.
Yeah, this match was incredible. I just want to say one quick thing. We mentioned, you mentioned it at some length about 10 minutes ago, but yeah, the crowd come out for the, when Dunn come out with, so when Pete Dunn come out with Tyler Bate and Trent Seven.
Channeling is in a Noito, might I add.
So he throws the belt on the ground. I think Trent Seven says something to him. I think he told him to do it. Because it looks like he's, because we obviously we're like 2 feet from them, so we can see it quite clearly. I'm pretty sure Trent's saying, just throw it on the floor and see what happens. And he just like chucks it on the floor, and the crowd just literally just starts spitting blood. And then as he goes around the ring, they take so long to get around the ring. It's a good 5 minutes, I'm pretty sure. And they just pass through all the crowd, just punching people's fingers. And Trent Seven likes to bite some fingers for some reason. I don't know why, because he's Trent Seven.
So does Pete Dunne, to be fair.
Yeah, and then they get around to the corner. So the corner, so the corner you're talking about, this is the same corner that led off at Zach Gibson. So this is obviously just a bunch of people, and they're trying to legitimately give out to Pete Dunne. Now, I don't think Progress don't actively want complete retards in their fan base, but why would you do that? All right, there's three of them. Tyler Bate is legitimate at amateur wrestler. Trent Seven is a big man and still can kill you, and Pete Dunne is legitimately quite aggressive. So
they're all assassins, mate.
Why would you try and start a fight? Legitimately start a fight. Why? I just don't.
If this broke down, you would have had a lawsuit because those three would have murdered everything in sight.
It started off as a bit of fun, and then one of the guys there started to get right up in Pete Dunne's face, and Pete's like, "Are you actually serious?" And Tyler Bate's like, you can see him like looking at Pete like, this might go south quite quick. And Pete Dunne's like, I'm going to see where this goes because I'm holding two belts.
He wouldn't back it up, would he? And to be honest, he can't in his position because of his character. Yeah. Now, we might have dramatised it slightly, but frankly, from where I was sitting, it looked like it was getting quite tasty. And you don't fucking want none of that. You don't.
Yeah, so.
You don't. I'm not kidding you. I've been to over 100 shows live. Mm-hmm. I've seen shows where dickheads have got in the ring, and I've seen shows where people have squared up to people. I've even seen Josh Bodum launch Geezer's glasses right across the arena.
Yes.
God,
yes.
I wish Josh Bodum had been on this show.
Oh.
I, you know what? Small prediction. I think Josh Bodum's coming to Progress soon. I think he's ready made for it.
I would say Ray and Waller are going to get him first, but yeah.
Frankly, the story in this match was incredible. I don't think the match itself was the best match of the night, wrestling-wise. A little bit too WWE heavy for me. And also, they've done this before with the whole multiple referees running in and constantly getting knocked down. Like, I get the story, and they build it fine. But I have seen it before. Now, that shouldn't take away from what was one of the most magical moments in all of independent wrestling history for me. Interesting enough as well, the middle rope broke. And credit to them, they worked around it perfectly. They didn't let it phase them. They kept going. And I actually think by the end of it, it kind of looked cool that the middle rope had broken. It almost added to the story, added to the feel. Like, look at this carnage. Look at what they've done to the ring.
Yeah, it did actually. I think you are. Yeah, it's kind of weird saying the sentence, but yeah, it wasn't the best technical wrestling match, but the overarching storyline just took over everything. It was the culmination of this entire storyline. The fact that Pete Dunne's been a right knob to everybody, threw the title on the floor, he threw it at Jim. He doesn't give a toss about the thing, about the promotion, because he's going to the WWE. He's got the WWE UK title, which, by the way, fucking gorgeous. And that just overtook everything, the storyline. It was just amazing to watch it all kind of play out. Yeah, the ref spot, there was countless ref spots. The poor ring crew got battered by I think all of them. I think Tyler Bate was the only one who didn't hit one. I think the only ring crew who didn't get hit was the lad. Pretty sure he was like 16 or 17. But other than that, it was just phenomenal. Just an amazing match. And literally, like I know I took the piss in saying Travis Banks isn't going to win or whatever, but I'm thoroughly glad he did. I'm pretty sure that Pete Dunne's done now. From what I've read in his Twitter today, I'm pretty sure he's done now with Progress. He's saying that, you know, it was a hell of a run and this, that and the other. So I feel like he's probably done now. And fuck it, what a way to go if you're going to do it. Literally in a blaze of glory. He looked legitimately sad as he walked past us going up the ramp, because obviously everybody else was focused on Travis Banks. And he looked legitimately like he wanted to turn around and wave, but he can't because it's his character. So, you know, he looked all right when he was leaving for the merch and that. So, but, you know, just as far as storylines go, it's the best one I've seen. I can't. And that's why I said earlier about Jimmy Havoc's storyline being great. But actually, this was just something. This was another level. Just phenomenal.
Yeah, I love the integration of CCK. The war that's been brewing between CCK and British Strong Style is fantastic. I actually hope they continue for a while. As opposed to just calling it a day here. Simply because, you know, title rematch would be nice as well. I like the fact that Pete Dunne's gimmick is basically that kind of shrug, isn't it? And that chin turn, it's kind of cool, actually. He's made that like his little thing, like, yeah, whatever. Like, you know, and he gave credit and a couple of people high-fived him as he went out. He almost got this kind of feeling of Pete Dunne's not going to be around that much longer. I think he'll get his title rematch. And then I think they might move on, and Pete Dunne might be moving on. As for Tyler Bay and Trent Seven, not entirely sure, but I think the next chapter is going to be a bit of a conger, isn't it? Fucking hell, that's going to be a corker, that one. Like, absolute shell shocker from these guys. What is going on in the background?
Sorry, I was moving.
God damn it, keep your fat ass still. Shut your mouth. So, yeah, it was a magical moment. I think you'd have to be a robot not to have a tear in your eye when Travis's parents got in a ring with him. I saw Chris Brooks was crying and Lycos is getting all emotional. I just thought, this is a fucking amazing moment. This is a guy who left his home across the other side of the fucking world to pursue his dream of being an independent wrestler in our country, because let's be honest, our independent scene is the best in the world. Anyone who wants to argue that point, I will happily square up to you and argue that point. Don't tell me anywhere else in the world has a better independent scene than we do. Ours is the best in the fucking world. It's incredible. And for the most part, the fans are some of the best in the world. And this moment was utterly, utterly magical. It was the ultimate feel-good ending to what was, in my opinion, the best live show I've ever seen. And now that is coming from a guy who's not a fan of Progress. However, I love Progress that much now, in terms of their storyline telling and that I will be buying a season ticket next year.
Oh my God.
For the Camden shows, and I will be going.
Yeah.
Because it's incredible. It's just, you know, I know a lot of people are going to be like, you're bandwagon jumping twat. Well, you got to get on sometime. Yeah. And I love wrestling more than anything else in the world. I've always wanted to be a wrestler. I've always wanted to be around wrestling. I've always wanted to do something wrestling. That's why I do this podcast. You know that. That's my dream. And this gave me so much feeling, so much passion, so much emotion for wrestling that even I didn't know I had. And that is probably the biggest piece of praise I can give to this show. Not just Jim Smallman, all the guys who have worked so hard to create this. I haven't been on board because of the fans, in a way. And I still think there's a hurdle for me there that I need to get over with the fans, I think. Because let's be honest, you know me. I'm not exactly a man who holds back in what he thinks. I'm quite a raw, emotional, powerful person myself. And you probably were thinking Progress is made for me. And I don't know. It's been hard to get on it. It really has. I've watched a lot of Progress. We watched the Super Strong Style stuff and I liked it. But I still had critiques. And I still do now. But for better or for worse, this is one of the most emotionally wonderful things I've ever watched in terms of any level of entertainment. Very rarely am I moved to my core. You know, I got I know I'll bang on about it and you'll take the piss, but genuinely being a part of that moment when Lycos hugged me, you know, and when I got a too sweet for Mighty Skull, and just being able to jump around like a child again. I felt like that kid who marked out when Bret Hart came down at the Royal Rumble and Owen Hart and all this kind of stuff, you know? I haven't felt that way for a very long time. I've marked out like crazy. I've seen it. We've both seen incredible moments. You know, I'm quite privileged that I get to spend most of these events and shows sharing them with, you know, my brother that is Ray. Ray's my closest friend. Everybody knows that. And that's part of the joy and the magic of this journey for me, is that we both get to share it. And it's, I don't think I've ever felt so emotionally invested and happy at a show before. By the intermission, I knew something cool was happening. I thought, this is pretty amazing. The same way when you first ever go to watch your football team play and you think, this is the team for me. I remember seeing Lincoln City as a kid and thinking, this is what I want to do. I love Lincoln City. And for me, this is kind of like an epiphany, really, for independent wrestling. I'm still going to obviously go to Rev Pro. I love Rev Pro, and I love all the shows I go to. You know, people like Riptide in Brighton, they're doing a great job. You know, there are other little shows. There's a lot of companies, smaller companies, and places like Lincoln that I'm really supportive of. But, you know, there's no denying progress is number one. There's no denying it. And that's coming from me. I've really repelled this for a long time. But love to anyone listening, love to all the Progress fans, love to Jim Smallman especially. What an incredible job you guys have done to take something so small and make it one of the biggest things in the world. It really is mind-blowing what they've done.
Nice. That's good. You're finally on the train. Do you know what? On the trude. I'll tell you what. This was probably, I know I haven't been to as much wrestling as you live, but I've done little tiny indie venues up in Raynham and stuff. And like Will Ospreay's old stomping ground. But this was the best thing I've ever witnessed. I left quite quickly after we wrapped up yesterday because I had to get home. I had a very early start today for work, but driving home in the car, I couldn't get over how good a show that was. I was legitimately excited to sit down and do this podcast tonight because I wanted to talk about how good it was. I want to talk about just how good the production qualities are. It blows anything else out of the water, and it's almost like a middle ground between the indies. That's what it feels like. It feels like you've got your actual straight up indies like Rev Pro and God, like Southside, not SW, they're probably in the middle too, but PCW, Prison City Wrestling, Future Shock, anywhere in London that has all the rest of the moment. And then you've got Pro Wrestling in the middle and then WWE. Because they've got that top end production quality. Like the videos are absolutely phenomenal. Every theme song is brilliant. It fits every character perfectly. Mark Haskins' theme, for example, is just like 2.5 minutes of just punching people in the face music. You know, Strong Style's music is just phenomenal. It's in its own way of just making them look amazing. And, you know, there's just so many good things about this thing. And, you know, I am so glad we got to go. And that's why I bit your arm off when you said tickets for it. And you know, we're going to Wembley next year. Like the pre-sales I think is this week. I am on the mailing list too. I want tickets, we're going. Just to kind of talk about that, to give you a scope of that now. So Jim announced that the main headliner show next year will be at Wembley, at the SSE in Wembley. So they're gunning for, we reckon, between 9,000 and 10,000 people. Which is unreal for a British indie to do. That's, I think we spoke about it last night. ICW did,
6.5 they did.
6.5 at the Hydro, which is great. And they're probably going to do higher this year at the back of the Hydro, Fear and Loathing 10. But to say, I think it's more of a name thing. You can say, yeah, we're going to Wembley. I think everyone collectively lost their minds when we announced that, including me and you, because we were like,
do you know what's so great about it as well is the fact that everybody who wants a piece will be able to go.
That is it. That, and that's going to be a really good test as well to see just how big the fan base is for Progress. Because if they legitimately can put 10,000 people in a stadium, they are going to cement themselves as they need a TV show at that point. Like that's probably the break-off point to be an indie, 10,000 people. So, you know, how they set out for a seat in, I don't know. They might do less than 10. I don't know. They announced it yesterday. Ease off, guys. But, you know, it's just an amazing thing to even say. Like, 10,000 people is just a phenomenal amount of people. Even if it's 8 or 9,000, it's still a stupid amount of people. So, yeah, we're absolutely going. No question. I'm going to try and go Camden again at some point. For one of the other ones. I can't go to the next one. It's sold out. But we'll try and go at some point again just to go and see some more Progress. I love Progress. I always have for a long time. And I've always been a big vocal supporter.
As I said before,
I love indies as it is anyway. You know, I absolutely love indies and I love everything about it, really. Just it's, and I think you mentioned it, it's that interaction you get with the wrestlers, because you don't get it in the WWE and, you know, to lesser effect the you know, Ring of Honor a bit and GFW, whatever they're called this week. But here, like, I think you've got the perfect example. Like, we watched Mark Kaskins and Jimmy Havoc legitimately try and kill each other in a wrestling ring, and then as we're leaving, they're at the merch table next to each other having a laugh and a chat. And it's like, and they're chatting to the fans who are sitting there going, "You people are fucking amazing at what you do," and they're just having a laugh and chat and everything. It's like, that is just incredible. Just that kind of, like, that kind of, what's what I'm looking for? The interaction and everything they can do. And oh, it's just so good. I could talk for hours just about how good independent wrestling is right now. And British independent wrestling itself is in the craziest time of its life. I don't think British wrestling's ever been like this or will ever be like it again. You know, if there's ever a time to find it, it's now, because there's such... I mean, we watched 5 WWE wrestlers randomly. You know, one of them was their champion. Another two were their tag champions. One of them just popped up randomly to face Walter. Like, where did you come from? And you were on NXT last night. It's like, it's just a staggering thing. And, you know, even ICW, you know, props to them. They've got some ludicrous signings of Ferrin Loven at the Hydro. And it just seems like this is where it is to be right now. And I know Will Ospreay, that's why he's gone to Australia to big up, you know, Melbourne City Wrestling and stuff, because he knows that the British scene is legitimately going to, is as high as it's ever going to be. So he's looking for somewhere
new. Can it get higher though? Can it?
10,000 at Wembley. We'll talk about it. Do you know what I mean?
We're going to test it. We're going to test that theory out next year, but I think it's time to wrap it up before Ray needs brand new shorts.
I just want to say one last thing before we wrap it up. I think me and you have made this joke about Pete Dunne and Damien Dunne, you know, No Fun Dunne. They should have a match together.
Yeah. I was banging on about how they should be a tag team.
Yeah. So if you're in the north and you fancy going to Shropshire Wrestling Alliance, they have an event called When It's All Said and Done, and their main event is Pete Dunne versus Damien Dunne.
Yes. Told you.
They have
knew it was going to happen.
And yeah, they have Robert Sharp versus Ashley Dunne. And Ashmore Webster's there as well against Kip Sabian. So that's a pretty decent card.
What's that? A good wrestling event up north in the Midlands? Oh, you know, it's for you guys who went to the show yesterday. If you go past Watford, yeah, then you get into this place called the Midlands, right? And then what happens is the Midlands goes all the way up to around Yorkshire area, and then we start calling it the North, yeah? Now, I appreciate that's quite difficult for you guys because of the altitude, because, you know, small brains and everything. So Lincoln, yeah, Midlands. Birmingham, Midlands. Manchester, get towards the north, yeah? Okay, cheers for that. Thanks.
Welcome to the north. Here's your gravy.
that's
not this on the edge, shall we?
I'll tell you what, don't make me go fucking Lincolnshire on you, son, but don't you fucking mess with fucking chips and gravy. Lincolnshire sausage. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, you see, you're all talking shit, but you're all tucking into a lovely Lincolnshire in the morning, ain't you? You'll love a bit of fucking Lincolnshire sausage. What a way to end this fucking podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a Twitter account. It's called @thesmarkplug. You can get at us on there and let us know all of your opinions, your viewpoints. You can take part in our polls for all of our podcasts. And not to mention, With No Mercy, gaining traction and coming very soon. So, yeah, @thesmarkplug. You can get at us for all your opinions, your needs, your interactions. Take part in our Twitter polls. And, of course, With No Mercy coming up, Smark Plug PvP, Pop Final Predictions. Send in your predictions. DM them to us. Try and keep them simple because, for God's sake, I have to read through all the fuckers and we're getting a lot. Keep them simple. Just let us know who you think is going to win the match. I don't need your fantasy booking. Thank you very much. I love it. I appreciate the effort, but please keep it to the bare minimum because I've got a lot of work to do on my end, guys. But of course, the winner, the person with the most predictions, will win a pot final. Be prepared. Details will be dropping this week as we are closing in rapidly on No Mercy. So be ready. Get your predictions ready. And I will let you know when you need to drop them and slide up into my DMs, mother. Now, as far as Twitter goes, obviously @thesmartplug is the main hub. Myself, I have a personal Twitter account @dunhamdill. Dunham is spelled D-U-N-H-O-L-M-E. Again, to people who live in London, Dunham is this place in the Midlands. Now, @dunhamdill. I just love trolling the Londoners at this point. So yeah, @dunhamdill if you want to speak to me personally, things about mental health, loads of other stuff going on in there, of course. You know, I'm a big Lincoln City fan. I'll always be nattering away about that. So if you can handle me ranting away about my local side and whatnot, then that's a good place to be. Please give us a follow. But of course, more importantly, give our good friend here, Raymond Ayres, a follow on Twitter. Grado87. No, not Gado. Grado87. Graydo87. Give him a follow on Twitter because he needs more followers because he's a sexy beast. And of course, he will gladly talk with you about all things indies. Ray is on the Indie 50 for a reason because, like me, he knows his fucking shit. He's passionate and loyal to the indie wrestling production, the indie wrestling product and the fan base and everything. He's just really in touch with it all. And as you've heard, you know, he knows progress well. You know, he's the best guy to talk to if you want to talk about anything indie and anything NJPW. Both of us take a lot of pride and a lot of effort in really, you know, digesting so much indie wrestling. We take a lot of joy in watching it all and bringing it to you guys. So let us know what you think. Obviously, the Facebook page as well. Please check out the Facebook page. It's quite WWE heavy. I appreciate what we meant in Mondays and obviously the podcast updates. We will endeavor to try and get more indie stuff on there. But let us know what you want to see on that Facebook page. If you search Smart Plug Wrestling, you will find it. And we're always uploading videos, a little bit of comedy shenanigans, whatever nonsense we can get away with putting on there, we will do. And obviously, there'll be details about the pop vinyl predictions on there too. So keep an eye on that. And obviously, if you need to email us because you think that, you know, even to this day, email is starting to become outdated, but you can email us. If you go to the Facebook page, just tap on send email and that will send you a direct email straight to our account. Or if you fancy doing it the old-fashioned way, thesmartplugpodcast@outlook.com. So, yeah, that pretty much wraps up another wonderful Indie 50. Raymond Ayres, thank you very much for joining us at this late hour the night after Progress 55. Did you enjoy chasing the sun, sir?
It was absolutely incredible, my friend. I just want to quickly sign off and say, support indie wrestling, for God's sake, isn't the best type shape of its life right now. If you don't know what's going on this month, I've only got to mention three things, basically. Fight Club Pro's card coming up at the end of September looks absolutely ludicrous.
Oh, God, I wish I was going.
Yeah. ICW are on Saturday at Newcastle with the champion Joe Coffey going up against Chris Hero or Cassius Ohno, which is just absolutely ludicrous. And there's just an absolute bucket load of indies right now. So like I said, if you don't know where any indies are in your area, please give me a shout on Twitter and ask me, or vice versa. If you find something I don't know about, please send me because I'd love to watch it. So yeah, other than that, Progress was incredible. Glad you're finally on board the Progress train, on board the gravy train for Progress, Northern joke. And yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much, as always, for joining us, mate. I have been one of your hosts, Mirror's Name, from myself and, of course, from my co-host, Reyes. Thank you very much for listening. Be safe. Take care of each other out there. And if you're listening in America, for some reason, just look after yourselves and try and ride it out for now. Just look after yourselves and, you know, look after the things that matter most. But most of all, ladies and gentlemen, just be safe. We hope you've enjoyed the podcast, and we'll catch you very soon for another podcast on the Smart Plug Network.
Well, folks, we're all out of time. This is Johnny Gomez saying good fight, good night.